Okay, we're back on Tip TV Finance with my co-host Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and with Gaurav Sharma, who's an oil analyst at the IB Times. How are you today, Gaurav?
Good morning, good to be here.
Lots of oil news at the moment.
Indeed, yes. Every time oil needs a boost, it seems then there has to be a verbal intervention. First it was the Saudis, then it was the Russians, then it was the two of them put together. President Putin had his say too. And all that does is bump it up by a couple of dollars. Then, of course, the analyst community, including myself, starts moaning that what is all this based on? The traders don't buy it. There's a bit of a tussle, and we're back where we started.
Well, they're clearly building on the very successful central bank policy of forward guidance.
Indeed, they like to think that they're the central bank of oil, if right. I may say so. I've heard that expression quite a few times at OPEC.
Equally as effective, it would seem.
Supposedly. Well, once was, I don't think any longer. But...
Wasn't it strange that you had Saudi and the Russians getting together? I mean, this is very unlikely bedfellows.
Indeed, and right at the G20, I don't think this has a precedent. I don't quite remember it ever happened before. And even before they inked it, Putin went on the airwaves and said, we hope that there'll be a sensible discussion. Then, of course, the agreement was reached and was released to the wide world on Monday. But having said so, if you look at the small print, actually the small print is missing. There is no small print. Mm-hmm. The large print simply says we'll cooperate with each other and we hope to achieve market stability.
What's the sort of hit rate for Russia when it says that it's going to cooperate with OPEC on them actually delivering? I think I know the answer to this question.
The recent form has been actually woeful. In fact, the Saudis don't keep up their promises either.
Yeah.
We were here in February, we were here in April. Nothing really happened. Mm. Again, the verbal interventions bumped up the oil price by roughly around $5. This time around, it was about $9 if we go all the way back to the 2nd of August. And I think we're in for a similar disappointment. The only surprising bit is I looked at the CFTC data, and I wonder why the trading community just buys into it. Because this particular rally that we had last time, which took us into a technical bull run, it completely lacked foundation.
But is it just a lack of aggressive shorts rather than anybody really feeling happy with going significantly long?
I suspect so.
Yeah.
Even if Saudis and the Russians are freezing at, let's say, well, they're about roughly in excess of 20 million barrels per day between the two of them.
Yeah.
10.6 for the Russians and about 9 point something for the Saudis. So we're in excess. So even if you freeze at that level, you're freezing at a historical record high.
And also you're in an environment where between Libya and Nigeria, you're probably about 1.25 million barrels a day below where they should be pumping.
Indeed.
And they're going to want to accept exemptions from any kind of freeze. They're going to say, well, why should we freeze at these levels? And that's about a year of demand growth for the global economy, just on those two countries. And then,
absolutely,
of course, this is assuming that Iran and also Iraq are going to be happy to pump 4.5 million barrels a day for the foreseeable future.
Interesting you bring that up. It's also on whose demand statistics are you relying on? Are you trusting the IEA? Are you trusting the EIA? Or are you going by us lot in the analyst community? And we seem to think that we will struggle.
None of the above.
None of the above. We will struggle to have a demand growth of more than 800,000 barrels per day.
Yeah.
The only correcting mechanism, where we've said, I see, if I may have the only chart that I send across, and this tells you the whole story. We've been stuck here. We've been up, down. These are all the Friday closes right from the start of the year. And the reason I suspect that we might be above 50 is because there was a very interesting research paper by Columbia University, and they seem to think that we're discounting that Venezuela could implode. Now, what that would do is that would take some of the barrels out because there are systemic problems there. Well, the country is technically in default. It's just that it hasn't admitted it. So if the Venezuelan barrels get taken out, then we might have some supply corrections. What the Saudis and the Russians and all these guys will do on the 26th or 28th of September at the IEF is largely meaningless. It's for show.
But it just shows, the overall picture just is one of quiet desperation, isn't it?
It is. The shipping industry is going through a desperate time. I mean, if you look at, go back a few years, you've had conversations about contango plays right here. And if we rewind the clock back to December 2014, hiring a very large crude carrier, VLCC, was about, somewhere in the region of about $35,000 per day. It then shot up on Valentine's Day of 2015 to $48,000 per day. Now it's down to about half. We are below 2014 levels because people are realizing these contango plays are not going to materialize.
Another little news item which I picked up on earlier in the week was China cracking down on teapots, independent refiners, because China's imports have been all-time highs despite the Chinese economy not looking particularly dynamic right now. I mean, to what extent is that being a factor in your thinking about where oil prices are like?
They surprised the market too at the G20 by revealing where their strategic petroleum reserves were. And the way I see it is that much of the Chinese demand is more or less flat. It's nowhere near where it was in 2012. And much of these oil importation levels have been high, courtesy what they're putting in the SPR. So they reveal their levels, and I think they'll keep importing more until they're about 400 million barrels strong. So I suspect the Chinese demand should have already corrected, given the lackluster performance of the economy. Mind you, many economies would love a 6.7% growth, but there you have it.
So would they.
Yes. In so many words, yes. I don't know where much of the Chinese demand is driven by what they're putting in the SPR, and I feel that is correcting. So, Zach, my take is they might be meeting in September. It might not be as much about some sort of a production freeze, rather to, sort of preempt that the Chinese are going to import a lot. What are we going to do?
So, basically, I mean, is there going to be a squeeze? I mean, the thing with these meetings, it's all about trading the run-up to these meetings. How do we trade oil ahead of the end of September?
I think what you can do is you can go long on the week that they're having. You have a bit of fun once the meeting is over, even if, which is not going to happen, even if they announce a real-term cut of 1 million barrels per day, it'll make the oil bounce by about $5, but we'll be back here early October.
So it's buy the rumour, sell the news, basically.
There's just too much oil out there.
On that note, Gaurav Sharma, oil analyst and editor of the IB Times, thank you very much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
We'll be back after the break.